Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 20. The Sins We Commit.
I'm sorry, Zakura, I'm trying my best, but I can't stop thinking about Trixie. There was something different about her. It's like she's gone from high and mighty to mean and nasty.
Choice. What is it like to not have choice? Are we truly the product of our destiny? Is choice just an illusion? We like to think that we are the masters of our own fates, but what of the choices that life makes for us? We don't choose what we look like. We don't even choose what our cutie marks are. Do we even have the capability to choose who we love? I'm not sure. I only know that I am faced with a heavy choice to make. Do I try to save what's left of Spark? Or do I destroy her, confident that she will never harm another soul ever again? I feel like Twilight herself must have made many choices along her path that led to the end of the world. Did she choose to let Spark do what she did? Or did she simply let fate be and let her choice be removed from her? I wish I knew. I wish I had some clue as to what I was meant to do, what I was meant to be. I've spent so long wishing that I could go back to being me, that I don't know who me is anymore. As I stand upon the precipice of disaster, I wonder, was it my choices that brought me here? Or was all this all just some sort of cosmic joke and I'm the punchline? Only time, it seems, will tell. The door to stable 180 stood immediately before me. Behind me, my friends and the collapsed tunnel that was both our savior and our destroyer. I knew I had no time to lose. It was time to find pride and put an end to everything. I stepped forward, touching the massive gear-shaped door with my forehoof.
"Every pony ready?" I asked.
Nods of agreement came from my friends. The ponies and hellhound that I had surrounded myself with were more than ready to support me in my time of need. I was glad that I had them, and in turn I knew they were glad they had me. I sighed. I was going to definitely need them if I was going to make it through this in one piece.
"All right, whatever happens, we need to stick together. Don't get separated and keep each other safe."
My horn glowed, reaching out to the stable's main door, enveloping it in a sheath of telekinesis. The door lifted away easily from its socket and I set it aside with a clang. The removal of the steel cock revealed a long and dark tunnel that led deep into the underground complex. Like the flight through the tunnel, this was too easy. Almost like pride was pushing us here. I knew that she knew we were coming from her intrusion into my dreams, but was she planning this from the very beginning? Were we walking into one giant trap?
"Okay,"
I said as I moved into the hallway, beginning our long walk into the stable.
"Let's go."
We began to walk as Violet, Danish, and I ignited our horns with light spells, bathing the gray walls in an unhealthy mix of our magical colors. While the mismatched colors of our magic weren't pretty to look at, they at least provided some form of illumination. I looked at my EFS, trying to keep track of any possible hostile activity, but all I had was some error about it not being available. I looked over at Violet, who had a concerned look on her face.
"Is your EFS acting up at all?"
I asked as we continued forward. The tunnel into the stable felt like it went on forever. It also seemed as if we were moving downward instead of straight. Violet nodded.
"Pretty much everything on my pipback seems to be on the fritz," she replied.
I scowled. The sheer depths of the stable could explain the auto-mapping failure, but that didn't explain EFS. Of course, even when it was working, I didn't understand how it worked, so I was unsure. Maybe something down here was blocking the device's spells?
"We're going to have to be extra careful then," I said quietly. "Every pony on full alert."
Nixie's kept a rear guard with Steeljack, the two friends staying close to each other. Violet and I shared point. Last, Danish and Patch hung near the middle and sides, watching and waiting for Pride's first move. The long tunnel tapered down, dark metal panels appearing over the rough stone. After the transition from tunnel to hallway was completed, branching paths started to appear. There were no signs or guide markers on any of the offshots. That made sense, at least. Pride certainly wouldn't make it all easy for intruders to delve her secrets or that of the stable she called home. I wondered briefly what the stable actually did. Gluttony had mentioned that he was originally an inhabitant of the stable, but he did not say what had happened here besides the fact that it now belonged to Pride. We stopped at the first intersection that we came to, trying to get a better understanding of our surroundings by sending a light spell down each of the paths. It seemed like they only led into more featureless hallways. Each one was lined with not only typical grey stable walls, but also massive pipeworks that lined the walls of each tunnel. Did the entrance of the stable somehow take you to the maintenance areas if you just followed it straight? I felt very confused, and without the use of my Pipbug's automap feature, I had absolutely no idea where to go next.
"Any pony have any bright ideas?"
I muttered, more to myself than anything. Last spoke, however, and I was a bit surprised at what she had to say.
I think we have to go to the left," she said quietly. "I just have this feeling that's where we need to go."
I nodded.
"Are you starting to remember?"
I asked. Lust shrugged noisily in the power armor she wore.
I don't know. I feel like there's some bits poking through, but every time I try to really remember it, I lose it,"
she said, sighing. We began moving down the hallway as I pondered the mare's words. I felt truly awful for her, but there wasn't much I could do about it. She had to remember things on her own, but still, I felt horrible knowing even what I did about her past life. Lilith, Lust, Lilith. What would happen if the Pegasus fully remembered herself? Would she accept what she once was? Or would she choose to forget? My mind swam with worries as we walked. The cold gray walls felt like they were closing in on us. I'm not even sure I knew how long we had been walking for. The hallway finally opened up into another series of tunnels.
"How big is this place?" Nixies wondered out loud.
"Pretty big," Violet said. "I can't imagine how many ponies this stable housed. We must be in the maintenance levels, though, because there aren't any doors that go anywhere." "I'm more concerned that Cranky hasn't shown himself," I said quietly. "Those ghouls on the way into this place? I'm pretty sure those weren't even the beginning of what he has in store for us."
I glanced about, checking my EFS again. Nothing.
"Whatever's messing with it must still be active,"
I thought. It was a very uneasy feeling, not having the EFS to tell me if there were any hostiles about.
"If I may ask, who is this Cranky you speak of?"
Nixus asked.
"Maybe he's given up on finding us?"
Danish nodded in agreement.
Well, Cranky is Lars. He was an old friend of a friend of a friend,"
I tapered off, groping for the best way to explain Cranky Doodle Donkey.
He's a Canterlot ghoul of some sorts. I'm not exactly sure what he was before, but he's working for Pride, and he's not one to give up easily."
"We met him on the way into Tickercold. He wanted to try and bring us to Pride, but he just kind of let us go," Steeljack commented.
We rounded the next corner, chatting idly amongst ourselves when we heard it. That sound. Sucking and gasping and claws at the walls.
"Ghouls,"
I thought. I tensed up.
"Do you guys hear that?"
I said.
"There are ghouls nearby."
I glanced about, relieved.
"Where are they?"
I thought as the sound began to grow louder and louder. We moved down the hall as silently as possible. I glanced at my EFS, hoping and praying that whatever was blocking it had magically stopped and that I could see where the monsters were. No dice. We stopped at the end of the hall, coming to another fork. The sucking sounds were deafening now. It was as if they were everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
"Where are they?" Violet said quietly. "Why don't they just attack?"
I shook my head.
"I don't know,"
I said, motioning to the right.
"Cranky's pushing us. He's got to be. Let's try this hall. Hopefully we find where we're supposed to go before Cranky's ghouls find us."
I moved into the hall, worrying about the noises around me. In these cramped hallways, it was going to be difficult to defend ourselves efficiently. Ghouls were highly unpredictable to fight, especially ones that were controlled by high intelligence. Cranky was playing us every step we took. He was pushing us somewhere, but where? A loud clicking sound caught my attention over the din of the ghouls as we moved down the long hall. I glanced back, seeing the already dark hallway begin to grow darker. Another click and the next section of hallway went pitch black.
I don't like the look of that,
I said, another click emanating from the ceiling, heralding the darkening of the section ahead of us.
I think we should move a little faster.
I flared my horn, shooting a light spell behind us. It struck the darkness and disappeared without a trace, swallowed as if it had never existed.
Okay, a lot faster.
The darkness thickened as we started to canter forward, trying to keep ahead of the loss of light. We rounded the corner to the next hall, finding ourselves in a wider passage. Metal doors lined the grey hall, the signs that indicated where they led either blank or missing. I didn't care where they went to. We had to keep moving forward. The magical darkness behind us continued to fall, coming dangerously close to our rear. I didn't want to know what would happen if it reached us.
Shit, Cranky, you're a bad donkey!
I shouted as my canter turned into a gallop.
How the fuck is Cranky doing this?
I thought in my panic. The sucking sounds of the ghouls were all I could hear. It was unbearable. Unfortunately, the next corner led to a hall that was extremely cramped. As we moved forward, what light there was at the end of the hall began to darken as well. We were being boxed in. I spun about, looking for an exit but finding nothing. It seemed like there was nothing to do but wait as the darkness on each side of our group inched closer and closer. The sucking noises ceased, an empty quiet filling the hall. A waiting quiet.
Some pony wanna tell me what's going on here?
Lust said.
Something wanted us here,
I said, pulling Stargazer out with my magic. After the constant din of the ghouls, the quiet was too much. The first ghoul launched out of the darkness behind us without warning, growling loudly as it landed next to Lust. The black mare snarled, slashing down with her wings, taking its head off. I barely had time to look back as two more of the undead monstrosities came from the other side. Violet and I lifted our respective weapons, turning the two beasts into a bloody pulp. The sucking sounds began anew as two groups of ghouls lurched out of the darkness ahead of us and behind us.
Fan out! Don't let them get close!
I shouted, turning Stargazer on the nearest ghoul and splattering its brains all over the metal floor.
There's not enough room,
Patch called back.
We need to find somewhere a little more open.
I agreed, but with the darkness surrounding us, I wasn't sure where we were going to. More of the ghouls appeared as if out of thin air. Patch bounced over to Steeljack's back, firing away at the undead horde with pinpoint precision. Her lover grinned widely and widened his stance. The armored pony was still able to shoot his rifle with Patch using him as a shooting platform, and the ghouls suffered for it. The loud crack echoed throughout the hall as it struck a nearby ghoul, turning it into paste.
Shit, we can't keep this up for long,
I said, using Stargazer like a club to knock back two more of the monsters. Pretty soon we'd get tired or run out of ammo, whichever came first. There was no way out. I began looking about for something, anything that we could use to get out of this. I looked back at Lust, who was busy slicing two of the undead beasts in half with her wings.
Lust, we need an exit, fast!
The black mare nodded, her eyes wide as she glanced about the cramped hall.
These maintenance tunnels, they always had some sort of access port that led into the ductwork,
she shouted as she began looking down at the floor beneath us.
Give me some light, Star, I can't see down here.
I nodded, sparing a flare of magic to stick a light spell to Lust's head. The mare grinned widely as she began to pull on one of the tiles on the ground. With a grunt, she ripped it away, revealing an access shaft that went straight down. It was just big enough for every pony to fit. I grinned.
Lust, you're magnificent! Every pony down the hatch!
I shouted. Nixies went first, howling as he slid down the shaft. Danish followed, along with Steeljack and Patch. I glanced back at Violet and Lust.
You two go on. I'll hold them back and try to seal it up so they can't follow.
The two mares nodded, leaping down the hole in the ground. The horde of ghouls pressed forward, pushing against my defenses in the tight hall as I backed towards the shaft.
I took a moment to access my pip bag, praying the inventory. Yes! I pulled a specific item out and closed the inventory.
Fuck you!
I shouted as I dropped down the hole, leaving the grenade behind. As I slid down the device blew, a massive boom echoing down the shaft along with a plum of dust and grit. I fell free through the air below me, landing on the hard metal floor next to the others. I groaned as I pushed myself up.
Next time we take the elevator,
Lust said groggily as she sat up next to Violet. I looked up in awe. We had fallen into a large open hall filled with what appeared to be maintenance equipment. At the far end was a large set of double metal doors. A sign above them held the words, Residential Elevator. There was no sign of ghouls nearby.
I think we found a way out of here,
Patch said, bouncing past me before stopping cold in her tracks. I followed her gaze as I realized we were not alone in this room. In front of the elevator doors was a very familiar face. Cranky's red soulless eyes smoldered in the darkness, a savage grin on his face. Parts of his flesh were dripping away, splashing onto the ground below him. The stench of rotting meat assaulted my nose, apparently coming from the contents of his cart.
Well, kid, you did it,
the donkey ghoul said, his gravely voice echoing across the dark hall.
You made it here. I'm impressed.
Cranky,
I said coldly. The ghoul coughed.
My name is Sloth. Thank you very much,
he said.
So what now? You come here to finish the job yourself?
I snarled. Sloth grinned, his teeth gleaming.
Soon. But first, I'd like to have a little fun with you. Makes the job more interesting after all,
the donkey said.
What about Matilda? Violet interrupted, anger in her voice. What about your promise to her?
The ghoul growled.
I told you before, kid. I have no choice in the matter,
he replied.
Pride is my master and I serve her because I have to.
He glanced over at Lust.
Although I hardly expected to see you here, sister.
I'm here because I owe Pride a world of fucking hurt, the Pegasus mare said. She fucked with all of us, Sloth. Don't you know that? She's responsible for us, why we are the way we are.
Sloth grinned again, nodding.
I'm aware of this,
he said.
Unlike most of our brethren, I actually know what happened to me. I was a ghoul first, and I'm still a ghoul after all.
It was the statues, wasn't it? I said. She did something to you with them.
Lust's eyes widened.
What? What statues?
She asked. Sloth snorted, interrupting us before I could respond to the mayor.
Yes, you would be correct there,
he said.
I made a deal with the statue and with Pride. I gave my service willingly for my memories and the promise of my Matilda's return.
Star? Lust asked again. What are you two talking about?
I sighed.
Lust, I saw a memory. Pride used these things, these statues. She used them to turn you into, well, you,
I said. Lust snarled.
And you didn't think I needed to know this? She shouted. Excuse me, but this is something you should have told me about.
Oh, dissension in the ranks,
Sloth interjected, grinning widely.
You've managed to surround yourself with the most interesting characters, kid. I'm impressed.
I shot a glare at the ghoul, then looked back at Lust.
Lust, I said calmly. I'm sorry, I should have told you, but this hardly is the time to be discussing this. We need to press forward.
Lust's eyes hardened as I looked up at Sloth. I would have to speak with her, but now was not the time.
As for you, why? Why can't you just see that Pride is playing you? She's holding you, Matilda, but she's never going to give her to you.
Because I know she will. She promised me.
Sloth barked angrily. I could tell that by now we were hitting a sore spot with the ghoul. He was beginning to become visibly agitated, but he just stayed there, like he was waiting for something to happen. Sloth growled under his breath.
No matter, you won't be going any further. I'm going to put a stop to this now.
The ghoul opened his mouth, exhaling a blast of pink cloud that floated above us. Wasting no time, I lifted Stargazer with my magic and fired a stream of bullets towards the donkey. Sloth moved to the side, dodging the bullets with relative ease. I blinked. There was no way Cranky should have been able to do that, super-powered upgraded Canterlot Ghoul or not.
Nice try, Ministry Mayor, but you'll have to do better than that to take me down. I haven't forgotten our last encounter by any means.
Sloth snarled. The swirling pink cloud hung above us in the air, preventing those of us that could fly from taking wing. The sucking and growling sounds erupted from all around us, indicating that we were not going to be alone for much longer. The donkey ghoul grinned widely.
Tell you what, if you can make it through the stable, I'll consider helping you. But I'm not going to make it easy on you.
When we make it through, Cranky, not if, and when we make it to Pride, we'll help you get Matilda back from her, I said.
Sloth scowled.
We'll see,
he grumbled quietly.
We'll see.
A swirling column of pink cloud surrounded the ghoul, and he disappeared in a flash of pink light. The growling and wheezing noises continued as the first group of ghouls burst into the maintenance room. Violet and I spun about, lifting our respective weapons into the air.
Nixies, Danish, see if you can't get the elevator doors open. We'll hold them off as long as possible,
I shouted. The Hellhound and Unicorn nodded, charging to the doors. Nixies began to pick at the terminal connected to the elevator. Danish stood guard in front of him, floating his carbine rifle into the air. I tried to trigger ESATS, hoping that the spell would still be active. Fortunately, the familiar slowdown of time came upon me. I queued up multiple shots and released the spell. Stargazer aimed and fired, ripping holes into ghoul flesh. Violet took aim with Thunder Flash, the silver fire from his beam rifle turning several ghouls into sizzling goop on the ground. I glanced over at Patch and Steeljack, the two lovers working in tandem as a familiar crack of the stallion's rifle was overshadowed by the powerful boom that was Parabellum's. Patch targeted ghoul after ghoul, ripping into the undead monstrosities with her rifle. As good as we were, as practiced and united, the ghouls kept coming. Stronger ones had begun to appear as well, glowing spots marking their rotting frames.
Fuck, there's too many of them!
Lust shouted as she pressed up next to Violet and me. She glared at me.
You and I are going to have a talk later.
I nodded.
Fine,
I said, turning as another set of ghouls rushed us. Lust snarled and lashed out with her wings, slicing two of the beast's head clean off. I looked back at Danish and Nixies. Despite our best efforts, several ghouls had made it past our barricade. Danish was holding them off as best he could, but even he was being overrun by the monsters. Nixie snarled, slashing out at the nearest ghoul with his vicious claws. I glanced back over at my friends. Patch and Steeljack were surrounded on all sides by slobbering creatures. There was just too many of them. Cranky had played his cards well enough this time, sending wave after wave of his mindless creations. I noticed that the ghouls were wearing stable jumpsuits. Cranky was using the inhabitants of Stable 180 against us. How many had died here for his twisted plans? I shuddered at the thought of it.
Pull back!
I shouted as I fired into the mess of ghouls again. I flared my horn, knocking ghouls out of my path with a burst of telekinesis. Violet and the others fought their way through the ghouls as we tightened our defensive perimeter around where Nixies and Danish worked.
Nixies, what's the status on the door?
I called back.
Not good, Star, the Hellhound yelled back. The terminal won't respond and my claws are barely making a dent in the door.
I growled. Ghouls filled the maintenance area, growling and hissing. Glowing ones dotted the swarm, which was slowly filling the space we had just vacated. They didn't seem to be in any hurry, knowing they had us cornered. We were trapped with nowhere to go. I looked over at Violet.
What do we do?
My laugh said, fear in her eyes.
What do we do, Star?
The Zebra Orb. My host's body was lean and strong. She felt like a powerful weapon ready to spring into action at any moment.
I realized by my host's size and the way she carried herself that she wasn't a pony. She was a zebra. My host blinked as she looked across the ruined city of Chickacolt. The light of the morning sun was hidden behind a thick layer of cloud cover as the zebra mare stepped out of an abandoned building. She looked back at her flank. The number 180 was emblazoned on the jumpsuit she wore. She sighed and turned back towards the city. My host trotted along, a cool breeze flowing across her coat. She stopped after a few steps.
I know you are there. I can feel your energy in the air,
my host said aloud, her voice deep and resonant. A chuckle from behind the mare prompted her to look back. Another zebra mare appeared out of the ruins.
Evora, the other mare said. Silva,
my host replied.
To what do I owe the pleasure of your visit? I feel that I've missed some vital missive. Evora, my student, I merely wished to see how you were, the other mare replied. You have been distant as of late.
My host sighed again.
I am sorry, Silva,
she said, breaking the rhyming.
It's just all of this. Since we came out of the stable, things have been difficult for me. I know what you mean, Silva said. But we must press on. There is too much to learn from this world. There is still ancient magic here, if we look hard enough.
My host nodded.
I can feel that, Silva. In fact, I can feel the magic in this place stirring. Something is happening, something big,
my host said.
Silva, if you don't mind, I'd like to be alone. I'll be back to camp before nightfall, I promise.
As you wish, Silva said.
Be careful, my dear.
The other mare stepped back, disappearing into the ruins silently. My host turned back and broke into a full gallop into the city. There was no pony in sight as she moved from street to street. Evora grinned widely as she stopped in front of the remains of a building I knew I had seen before. The Ministry of Arcane Sciences. My host silently stalked around the back of the imposing building, stopping in the vacant lot behind it. Her eyes flashed and she twirled about, striking outwards with a hoof. A metal flying star deflected off of her extended hoof, soaring away to clatter harmlessly on the concrete ground. My host grinned.
You'll have to do better than that, I fear,
she said. Another projectile flew from seemingly nowhere towards the zebra. Evora moved swiftly with grace and poise, dodging the star easily.
You're getting better by the day,
a voice called out from above her. My host glanced upwards, seeing a dark blue alicorn standing on the ministry building.
Pride,
I thought.
She keeps showing up. What does it mean? But she's different this time. She doesn't look the same. Is this before she changed? Hello, Diamond,
my host called. The alicorn smiled and stepped off the building, snapping her wings open to soar elegantly into a landing in front of the zebra. I noticed that the zebra was studying every movement the alicorn made with reverence and a little bit of admiration. It was clear that these two were not only friends, but that my host held something special in her heart for the other mare.
Well, Metavora, I trust no pony followed you,
she asked. My host nodded.
No, I believe Silva might have suspected something, but she did not follow,
the zebra responded with a smile.
So, what are we up to today?
Diamond grinned widely.
Well, I've been thinking. Everything I've read so far has suggested that the statues are real,
she said.
I think they might even be here.
She motioned up at the looming ministry building.
Is this again? Diamond, I think you've been poking your nose too much into those books of yours,
my host said.
I have not,
the alicorn snorted.
But you can't deny that these things are worth a search. Can't you imagine it, Evora? With such magic at our hooves, we could make the city better.
And what if they're not real? What then?
My host said. Diamond sighed, looking away for a moment.
What if, Evora? What if they aren't real? Even if I never find the statues, I'll still be happy with the life I've led searching for them,
the mare said, tears forming in her eyes. My host placed her hoof on the alicorn's shoulder.
Diamond, I care about you, you know that, right?
My host said. Diamond nodded.
We've been good friends for a while now, and I don't want to see you push yourself deeper into this.
I know, I just want to help. I feel like ponies still mistrust the Alicorns.
Diamond said. My host smiled.
But you're not like that anymore. You haven't been for a long time,
the zebra said.
You're a good pony, Diamond, and your heart's in the right place, even if your head isn't always there.
My host chuckled, drawing laughter from the Alicorn mare.
Yeah, I suppose you're right,
she said.
I guess we don't have to worry about the statues today. We could just scavenge like normal.
That sounds lovely. By the way, where are Cutter and Lilith?
My host asked. Diamond rolled her eyes.
Oh, you know these two. They're off somewhere having a party of their own,
she said.
Cutter said something about dinner at the theater. I figured I shouldn't intrude on their fun.
Indeed.
My host chuckled as the two equines made their way in through the docking area of the Ministry Hub. The long dead skeletons of ponies lay strewn about the shipping dock. A long hall extended deep into the abandoned building beyond. My host and the Alicorn made their casual way down this hall, picking through the odd locker and trash bin on the way. Evora turned down a second hall, splitting off from her friend. The hallway was barren, ending in a large set of doors marked with the cutie marks that I knew all too well. My host pushed on the doors. Locked. She looked around for any sort of terminal that might control the door. Of course, there was nothing.
Well, shit,
my host muttered to herself. Looking down at her hoof, she tapped a few buttons on the device strapped around her leg.
Diamond, I have found a door I can't hack into. Think you could help?
Static emanated from the radio device.
Sure, I'll be right there.
The Alicorn's voice came out of the radio. My host slumped to her haunches while she waited. Soon enough, Diamond came trotting around the corner. Her eyes widened when she saw the door.
It's Twilight Sparkle's office,
she said.
The things that might be in this room, I can't even imagine. Do you think you can get in?
My host said. Diamond studied the door for a few moments. She closed her eyes, igniting her horn. The doors were bathed in the soft blue light of her magic. Grimacing, the Alicorn focused harder, intent on ripping the doors from their hinges. The doors bent inwards, the metal bowing to the extreme pressure that the mare was placing on them.
Come on,
Diamond said, growling. Her slender horn flared brighter as the intensity of her magic increased. With a final burst of power, the doors blew completely in. The light from Diamond's horn died down.
Wow, I'm impressed,
my host said as she trotted past Diamond into the doorway. The office beyond was incredible. The plush velvet carpeting in the room gave the entire office a warm and cozy feeling to it. It appeared that no pony had ever opened the doors since the end of the war. Arcane instruments hung off of every wall, and a massive crystal globe sat at the far end of the room. Centered in the room was a wooden desk emblazoned with the Ministry of Arcane Sciences logo.
I've never seen anything like it,
Diamond said, her eyes wide with wonder.
Can you believe our luck?
I know, I've never seen this door before, but yet here it was,
my host said as the two friends stepped into the office proper. Diamond moved to the desk, sitting down at the terminal that was there. After a few moments of tapping, her eyes lit up.
Evora?
She said. My host glanced over at the Alicorn, who motioned for her to come over. Evora trotted to the other mare's side.
What is it?
My host asked. The Alicorn put her hoof to the terminal screen.
They're real, everything I've been looking for. It's all here,
she exclaimed. My host's eyes followed her friend's hoof, reading the text on the screen. Her eyes narrowed as she reached the section of text the Alicorn had been reading.
Interesting,
my host said.
I don't know, Diamond. Are you sure this is it? This seems like it's too good to be true.
Diamond snorted in response.
I'm sure of it,
the Alicorn said.
In fact, it appears that Twilight kept up a journal of her studies on the statues. I'm going to copy it off here to my pip bag. It could be useful.
Does it say where these things are?
Evora asked. The Alicorn stopped dead in her tracks.
Well, no, it doesn't,
she said dejectedly. Evora sighed.
Then how do you know they even exist anymore?
The zebra said.
How do you know they weren't destroyed when the bombs dropped?
Diamond silently glared at my host as she began to tap some more at the terminal, copying the files off to her pipback. My host continued to poke around the room, looking for anything small that could be salvaged. At the far end of the room, below the crystalline globe, was a silver footlocker. It was adorned with an ornate padlock. The zebra ran her hoof over the lock, feeling the energy pouring from it as she did.
Diamond?
My host called out.
I think I found something.
The elecon stood, looking back at where the zebra was hunched over.
What is it?
She said. Evora motioned to the footlocker.
Some sort of strange lock. I think it's magical. Can you unlock it with the terminal?
She asked. Diamond looked back at the terminal, shaking her head.
No, there's no access on here for that. I'll have to try it the old-fashioned way.
The elecon mare replied, trotting over to where my host was sitting. She inspected the lock closely.
It's definitely magical in nature. Usually these kinds of locks have a specific sequence of magics that you have to feed into it in order to open them. Interesting. I wonder what the Ministry mare wanted to hide so badly she stuck it in that kind of protection?
My host said. Diamond shrugged.
I don't know, but I intend to find out,
she said, a determined look crossing her face. The roar of gunfire sounded from Stargazer as I gritted my teeth at the oncoming onslaught of ghouls. We were pinned down with nowhere to go. The elevator doors had refused to budge, and I was beginning to get pissed. I had no idea how much longer we could hold out. I growled loudly, flaring my horn in the only chance I could think of to give my friends any sort of time to keep working on the terminal.
Every pony, stay back!
I shouted, releasing the magic into Shining Armor's shield spell. The purple barrier appeared around us, and immediately the base of my horn began to sear with intense pain. I closed my eyes, trying to force the magic out through the pain.
Star!
Violet called out.
Are you all right?
I panted hard for a moment as I tried to get a grip on myself before finally opening my eyes. I had done it. The barrier stood perfectly, preventing any of the ghouls from getting through to us. I nodded.
Yeah, I'm all right, I said breathlessly. I can't hold this spell for very long, though. See if you can help Nixies and Danish with the door.
My laugh nodded, rushing back to where the cream-colored unicorn and the hellhound were still working away at the door. Violet joined in, connecting her pip back to the terminal and frantically poking at it. I turned back to the ghouls, watching them pound furiously on my shield. My horn continued to flare in pain, and I gritted my teeth. I tried to breathe deeply, but I couldn't manage a single full breath between the steps of pain from my aching horn. A loud beeping behind me drew my attention away from the shield. Violet sprang into the air as the doors hissed, steam rolling out from between them.
Star, I got it!
Violet called, bouncing like a school filly. I grimaced as the doors revealed a dark elevator shaft extending up and down beyond our current floor. Violet and the others must have realized this as well as they looked up the shaft hopelessly.
Last, see if you can start taking the others up the shaft. Try and get to the residential section. I'll hold the shield as long as I possibly can,
I yelled. The black mare glared at me but finally nodded. She turned to Patch first.
Come on, Greenie, let's go,
she said flatly. The green mare latched her forelegs around the Pegasus's neck. With a blast of her wings, Lust launched herself up the shaft, disappearing from sight. A sharp pain emanated from my horn again and the shield began to flicker.
Star!
Violet exclaimed. I waved her off, pushing more magic into my horn. The shield began to reform, albeit a little smaller than it had been before. Several moments passed, the only noise is the sucking and slobbering of the ghouls on the other side of the shield. The flutter of wings and clanging sound of a combat pegasus landing heralded Lust's return.
It's like four floors up, but I've found the residential section. It's deserted. Patch is setting up a perimeter in case that donkey fuck tries to strike while we're split up,
she said. I nodded as the black mare moved to Danish and Nixies.
All right, I can take Danish, but I'm not sure about you, Nixies. Do you think you can climb up if you follow me?
The hellhound nodded in response.
I should be able to manage, he said.
Lust grinned, pointing back at Danish.
All right, then. Hold on tight, lover boy. Don't get too frisky with me or I might have to punish you.
she said, winking and turning away from the stallion. She shook her rump to emphasize her point, grinning widely. Danish rolled his eyes and wrapped his forelegs around her neck. Lust took off, Nixie's following quickly behind as he leapt into the shaft, using his claws to dig deep into the metal walls. He began to ascend the shaft after the Pegasus. Only Violet and Steeljack were left.
"Like old times, right?"
I said jokingly as my horn sparked. I closed my eyes, feeling the pain intensify.
"Old times?"
Violet quipped before her eyes went white with fear.
"Oh no, oh no, 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 no."
I grinned as I turned about, reaching out with my telekinesis. I let the shield fall, grinning with pleasure as the pain washed away into a warm glow. The ghouls immediately charged forward, rushing after my retreating form. A spike of pain came when I relit my horn, but I pushed through it. Violet and Steeljack both screamed as they flew into the shaft in the grip of my magic. I opened my wings and leapt in after them, powering upwards and carrying them with me as ghouls poured into the shaft. The ghouls howled and snarled as they streamed in through the open doors, falling down the open shaft. I kept flapping my wings hard, trying to catch sight of Lust and the others. A pale cream-colored light flickered above me, indicating an exit. I rushed towards the light, landing inside another drab-gray tunnel. Danish's horn dimmed as I deposited Violet and Steeljack onto the hard floor. I slumped to my haunches, every part of me burning as I held a hoof to my horn.
"Star!"
Violet called out, coming to my side.
"What's wrong? Are you okay?"
I shook my head, tears forming in my eyes. I had experienced magic burnout before, but never this badly. Ever since Spark had left my body, whenever I had used magic in such extremes, the burnout had become much worse. Now, even when I wasn't using magic, my horn pulsed with pain on every heartbeat.
"Hurts,"
I choked out through the tears.
"Horn, magic, hurts like a bitch. Just need a moment to collect myself."
Violet nodded, placing her foreleg around my neck. It was just what I needed. Lust sitting down in front of me, however, was not something I needed.
"Before we go any further, before I risk my ass for you anymore, talk. No more lies,"
the black mare said. Violet glared at Lust, death in her eyes.
"Can't you see she's in pain, Lust?"
my mare friend said.
"This is hardly the time." "No, it's a perfect time. I need to know,"
Lust said.
"I need to know if she knows anything that involves me."
I looked up at Violet and nodded silently. I lifted a hoof to my eyes, wiping the tears as best I could.
"Okay, what do you want to know? Fine, Gluttony gave me a memory orb. In it, I saw Greed become... well, I saw him become Greed,"
I said.
"She gave him some statue that transformed his body. I assume that she did the same to you."
That's it?"
the Pegasus mare asked. I nodded. She sighed, looking troubled.
"So, there was nothing about me?"
"No,"
I lied. I knew in my heart that it was wrong, but I couldn't bring myself to tell her about what Greed was doing and why. I couldn't tell her about Lilith. Not yet. A little pink pony in the back of my head told me that telling a secret was the fastest way to lose a friend. Forever. The little orange pony argued with her, telling me that I should pony up and tell the truth. I sighed, deciding that the lie was easier to deal with.
"No, it was just greed and pride. She had already become what she is now."
Lust looked away for a moment and then let her gaze meet mine.
"All right,"
she said after a few moments of silence, her eyes softening.
I really needed to know."
"It's okay, Lust, I understand,"
I said, wincing in pain.
"I know you're trying to do everything you can to remember. Just don't force it, all right? You'll remember who you were, trust me."
I stood shakily, Violet supporting me. I smiled down at her.
I'll try, Star,"
Lust replied.
"Are you feeling better?"
I nodded.
"Yeah, I'll be all right,"
I said, steadying myself. I took a step forward, feeling a little more stable.
"So, where are we?"
Danish and Nixies were standing guard further down the grey hall. The cream-colored stallion looked back at us.
"It looks like we're near the residential section of the stable,"
Nixies said quietly.
"From what I can see in the next hall, we're going to pass through the living quarters."
We should ideally make our way to the medical wing, I said as we began to walk. In the memory orb that I saw Pride in, that was where she had led Greed. It should be on the other side of the main atrium, if I remember correctly.
Nixies pushed open the door at the end of the hall, revealing another set of grey halls ahead of us.
Some pony at Stable Tech must have really liked the color grey, I thought.
Granted, there was spots here and there of color in this section of the stable. Dark bluish doors that led to individual residential quarters lined the walls. Some of them were closed completely, while yet others were halfway open, revealing dirty and dingy rooms beyond their entrances. This area was seemingly devoid of life. I thought of the ghouls that Cranky had used against us down below in the maintenance section. Did he really animate the remains of the stable ponies? How long ago had the stable gotten to this point? I felt confused. Gluttony had said he was an original inhabitant of the stable, so what happened that forced the stable to open? Was it possible that Gluttony was lying to me in order to get me here? The long and confusing halls were of no help. Without EFS or our order maps, we were flying blind. Every corner we traversed just seemed to result in more grey halls to walk down. I struggled as we walked to remember the path that Pride and Greed had taken while traversing the stable, but to be honest, I couldn't quite remember any of it. After what had felt like hours of walking, everything around us began to look very similar.
Shit, are we walking around in a giant circle or something?
I said as we passed by another open residential room. Despite the darkness pervading the hallway and the fact that all of these rooms looked practically the same, this one felt familiar.
I don't know,
Violet said, poking her head into the room.
Maybe we took a wrong turn somewhere.
I doubt it, Danish said quietly. It's gotta be some sort of trick.
Nixies and Steeljack nodded in agreement.
Regardless, we've gotta keep going, I said. I don't want to be caught by surprise again.
The next hall over looked exactly the same as the first. More grey walls, more half-open doors, more twists, more turns.
How large is this place?
I thought. After about the sixth time passing by what looked like the same half-open door, I stopped and stomped my hoofs like a little filly.
Damn it!
I shouted.
What in the sorrel hell is going on here?
I growled, slamming my forehoof into the wall. My eyes widened as the wall shimmered around my hoof. I dragged my hoof along the wall. The shimmer followed along.
Oh, fuck! What is it?
Patch said as she bounced up to the wall, placing her hoof on it, prompting another round of colorful shimmering.
Oh, it's a reactive surface. I may be wrong, but none of this is even real. It's a hologram.
Pride,
Lust said.
She's running us in circles, trying to slow us down.
Okay, so now that we know what it is, how do we get out?
I asked, looking over at Patch. The green mare grinned widely.
Oh, that's easy. I just need to overload the converters in the walls with a focused pulse of electrical energy,
she said. My eyes glazed over at the technical explanation.
Could you maybe, you know, speak plain equestrian?
I said. Lust snickered. Patch rolled her eye at me. It was a strange sight to see a one-eyed pony mare rolling her singular eye. I almost burst into laughter myself.
Fine,
Patch said, groaning.
I'm gonna blow it up.
I blinked as the Earth Pony reached into her saddlebags, pulling out a small apple-shaped device. It had a blue ring around its center.
Isn't that an EMP grenade?
Danish said, his voice shaky. Patch nodded.
Yep, this'll only take a second,
she said, feeling about on the wall until her hoof hit something protruding from it. Grinning, she pressed the device up against the protrusion. Yanking the stem from the grenade, she turned and yelled.
All right, everypony, run!
I turned tail and started booking it down the hall. Violet ran next to me, her eyes wide in fear. We made it just around the corner when the grenade blew. A tingling sensation wriggled its way through my entire body and I stopped cold. Everywhere around us, the walls began to shimmer. One by one, every wall disappeared in a spectacular blaze of light. The walls finally failed, revealing that we were in a large open hall with two large doors on either end of it. The others were standing a few feet from Violet and me, looking just as confused as I was.
Well, that was certainly different,
I said as I shook off the tingling feeling.
Just what was that? Holoreactor, Patch said casually. We had one in my stable too. We used it for relaxation. It was supposed to help keep us from losing our minds being stuck underground.
So, wait, this was all just some big recreational facility?
Violet asked. Patch nodded.
Obviously, Pride modified the programming for her own use,
the Earthmare replied smugly.
But no matter how you wire it, I can fix it.
Well, shall we move on then? Nixies interjected. Pride's going to figure out soon that we're past here.
I nodded.
If she hasn't already, Lust said as we made our way towards the doors at the far end.
Like most of the doors that we found so far, they weren't locked. The locks had probably been disabled when the stable had failed. On the other side of the large doors lay the stable's atrium. The large, open-ended lounge was where the stable inhabitants would relax and mingle on off times. Chairs and tables lay strewn about. In the center of the atrium was a massive fountain that was long dry. The fountain had a large Elecon statue in the center of it.
Wow, I'm impressed, Danish said. This must have been one of the larger stables in the city.
It was, Lust said. I can remember that much, at least.
You know, something has been bugging me about this place, I said. All those ghouls that attacked us earlier, they were wearing stable jumpsuits. And granted, this place could be big enough for that many ponies. But that many died here? How many escaped?
Lust sighed. I don't know of Handstar. I can only remember snippets of this place, the Black Mare said.
Perhaps I can be of some assistance, kid,
a gravely voice said. From behind the fountain stepped Cranky. The donkey ghoul had a grin on his rotting face.
Cranky, I was wondering when you would show back up, I said.
A dry chuckle erupted from the ghoul's throat.
I see you made it past my ghouls, he said. Of course, I've been watching you since you escaped. Your little friend there, the green one, she's smart. We're going to have to remedy that.
I'd like to see you try it, Buster, Patch said, glaring at the donkey.
What do you want now, Cranky?
I broke into the conversation angrily. I was beginning to get really sick of these interruptions.
You ready to end this yet?
Sloss's eyes narrowed at me.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be ending this soon, but for now I'm more interested in seeing how far you're willing to go in order to get to Pride,
he said.
Aren't you afraid she'll take some action against you if you're supposed to be stopping us?
Violet said, cocking her head. Sloss grinned.
Pride can't be everywhere at once. Unfortunately, she's a little preoccupied at the moment,
he said, glancing over at Lust.
So, you want to know more about this place?
What do you know? The Pegasus said. What does it have to do with me?
I know more than you could possibly imagine, Pegasus. I've lived a long time, seen a lot of bad things in that time. When you're a ghoul, no pony wants anything to do with you. Anyhow, that doesn't have much to do with you, I know,
the ghoul said wistfully.
I met a pony several years ago. She was fresh out of the goddess and had just started calling herself Diamond. We nearly killed each other, but both of us are fairly resilient creatures.
Pride, I said coldly.
The ghoul nodded.
Yes, before she came the Pride you know today. When that goddess thing died, her memories all came flooding back. At least, what she thought was her memories,
he said. I cocked my head.
What do you mean? I said.
I mean that her memories were not her own. They belonged to some pony else. Diamond didn't know what to do. She fled, trying to understand what was happening to her,
he said.
She came here to this city and I followed her. I didn't know what I was doing, but she needed help. It was here that she met you and the others. Her memories drew her to stable 180, where she found the stable already opened, its inhabitants having moved into the city. She made her home here, making friends and trying to fight the good fight.
But then, what happened to her?
I said, trying to process it in my head. Pride had been good once? I almost couldn't believe it. She had somehow ended up with somepony else's memories when the goddess had died. I knew how that felt personally. Having had Twilight's memories stuck in my head for so long, I was well aware of what it was like to have to live somepony else's life. Sloth chuckled at my question.
That's all I'm going to tell you, for now,
the donkey said.
Now then, that should be enough time.
Enough time for what?
Steeljack echoed. The stallion had been silent until now. Something Cranky had said had piqued his interest.
Enough time for the automated defenses to start back up. The protector ponies should be arriving shortly,
Sloth said casually.
Get ready, Radiant Star. It's time to keep up the fight.